namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om 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 namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So, reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, Understanding Material Nature. Verse 2, am I right, Maharaj?
Two.
Sa esha yarhi prakritir gunesho abhi vishajate ahankriya vimudatma kartasmiti abhimanyate. Sa esha yarhi prakritir guneshvabhi vishajyate ahankriyavi mudatma kartasmityabhi manyate. Sa esha yarhi prakritir guneshvabhi vishajyate ahankriyavi mudatma kartasmityabhimanyate. Sa esha yarhi prakritir guneshvabhi vishajyate ahankriyavi mudatma kartasmityabhimanyate. That very living entity, Esha, this, Yarhi, when, Prakrite, of material nature, Gunesho, in the modes, Abhivashajate, is absorbed, Ahankriya, by false ego, Vimudha, bewildered, Atma, the individual soul, Karta, the doer, Asmi, I am, Iti, thus, Abhimanyate, he thinks. Translation. When the soul is under the spell of material nature and false ego, identifying his body as the self, he becomes absorbed in material activities, and by the influence of false ego, he thinks that he is the proprietor of everything. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, the conditioned soul is forced to act under the pressure of the modes of material nature. The living entity has no independence. When he's under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's free. But when, under the impression that he's satisfying his senses, he engages in sense gratificatory activities, he is actually under the spell of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Prakrite kriyamanani, Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse 27. One acts according to the particular modes of nature he has acquired. Guna refers to the qualities of nature. He is under the qualities of nature, but he falsely thinks that he is the proprietor. This false sense of proprietorship can be avoided simply by engaging oneself in devotional service under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his bona fide representative. Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita, was trying to accept for himself the responsibility for killing his grandfather and teacher in the fight, but he became freed from that proprietorship of action when he acted under the direction of Krishna. He fought, but he was actually freed from the reactions of fighting. Although in the beginning, when he was non-violent, unwilling to fight, the entire responsibility was upon him. That is the difference between liberation and conditioning. A conditioned soul may be very good and act in the mode of goodness, but still he is conditioned under the spell of material nature. A devotee, however, acts completely under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Thus, his actions may not appear to be of a very high quality to the common man, but the devotee has no responsibility. Sa esha yahi prakritir guneshvabi vishajate ankriya vamudatma kartasmityabhi manyate. When the soul is under the spell of material nature and false ego, identifying his body as the self, he becomes absorbed in material activities, and by the influence of false ego, he thinks that he is the proprietor of everything. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachyadeshtarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanichyananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyas chakripas sindurubhyavacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Pujari Devata, could you take the bead bag off Prabhupada's hand, please? Thank you. Yes, okay. So, Lord Kapila, here we've entered into the next chapter, and this is verse 2. Chapter title is Understanding Material Nature. And Lord Kapila, in the context of Sankhya, means very analytical approach. He's analyzing how things work here in the material world. And they work in ways which are very different from how so many people think they work in this world. Srila Prabhupada refers to, he quotes the first line of Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse 27, Prakrite kriyamanani Gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kart aham iti manyate. Yeah, manyate, he thinks. Here it's similar. Karta smit yabi manyate. In that verse in Bhagavad Gita it was kart aham iti manyate. Here it is kartasmi, I am doing iti abhimanyate. Yeah, he thinks in this same way. This verse is a parallel. In a general sense, it's a parallel. This verse here, which we're reading today, 327.3, is a a parallel with Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, verse 27. It does actually mention the modes. Gunesh Vabhi Vishajite does mention the modes, although in the actual translation, Prabhupada just says, under the spell of material nature and false ego, but of course, when you talk about being under the spell of material nature and false ego, you're talking about being under the control of the modes. Gunesh Vabhi Vishajate. Yes. Abhi Vishajate means is absorbed. He's absorbed in guna, guneshu, in the modes of material nature, or in different activities under the influence, or actually it would be more accurate and sort of at least more really to the point to say under the control of the modes of material nature. Just being influenced and under the control of something or someone, there's definitely a difference in terms of intensity of being under control. So, yes, in that verse, Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, verse 27, it's a famous verse in Bhagavad Gita, that the conditioned soul under the influence of the modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. This is the position, this is our position. Now, of course, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have got deeper insight. But still, who can say that they have completely transcended, that they're no longer subject to any influence of the mode sometimes? Old habits die hard, as we've mentioned on a number of occasions. Old habits die hard, and old habits have the habit of just coming up again when you didn't expect them, or when you thought they weren't going to do that, or whatever, something along those lines. But, oh, they have this habit of just cropping up, popping up, their ugly little heads come up above the surface into the consciousness from the subconscious or those lower aspects of consciousness. They pop up into our actual conscious thinking processes and then try to exert influence. This is all the modes. We've been under the modes for many lifetimes. Who can say how long? No one can say how long. Of course, Krishna could, but he doesn't seem to bother, because it's been a really long time. It's just been an awfully long time. But the interesting point, and the point which Srila Prabhupada focuses on, at least in, you could say, the second half of the purport, is that just through Krishna consciousness alone, in one lifetime, if one applies oneself very enthusiastically, sincerely, seriously to the process of devotional service, just in one lifetime, you can become free from all those things which were controlling you when you were in material life for an unlimited, practically, number of lifetimes. You know, it would be one thing if it was 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000. But here we're talking about millions of millions, and no one can no one can actually say in any sort of meaningful way. So it's vast. It's vast. The conditioning of the conditioned soul is just so extensive. It's incredible. But still, devotional service to Lord Krishna, if properly executed, as Prabhupada says here, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or, he says here, or his bona fide representative, it's interesting, Prabhupada says in the purport three times, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's free. Under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his bona fide representative. And then again, a devotee, however, acts completely under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Three times. Three times and you're out. Yeah. You know, it's actually a Vedic standard of argument or of emphasis, at least. That if you state something once, that this is a fact, then people will accept, yeah, okay, it's a fact. If you say it twice that it's a fact, then they'll say, oh, yeah, okay, it really seems to be a fact. But if you say it three times, then they say, it's a fact. Right? And this is what Srila Prabhupada has done here. Yeah. So I don't know, of course, if he did it consciously with that idea in mind. But certainly, he definitely had the idea of really emphasizing that if we engage in devotional service under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then we become free. This is more like the particular point. In specific terms, we become free from the karma which is normally there. And because, how's that? Well, because we're under the direction of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is taking the karma. Otherwise, when we act under the direction or control of the modes of material nature, then we're under the control. But karta asmi is the actual Sanskrit term. Karta asmi. Asmi means I am. And karta means the doer. Karta asmi. I am the doer. Iti, in that way, abhimanyate. He's thinking. So, yeah. So people are thinking like that. In this way, they are taking responsibility and they are getting the responsibility, and getting the responsibility means that they have to take the reactions. So it's interesting, the entanglement of the conditioned soul. It's very interesting how they get caught up and how they feel that they are the doer, how they feel that they are their bodies. We know Srila Prabhupada talked about the test, and devotees do. I've done myself when doing a program, maybe particularly with just very new people or like the public, then you call someone up to the front and, well you make the point that people identify with the body. But in Krishna consciousness, we say we're not the body. I am not the body, but this is my body. It's my possession. And obviously, like my mouse, it may be, it's my possession, but it's definitely not me. So we call people up to the front and we say, point to your chest. And they point to their chest. Point to your left arm. Point to your head. Point to your right leg. This sort of thing. And where is your mind? And generally people will say, oh, it's in here. In the head. And then after, you know, a few examples like this, all right, oh, and point to your chest, where we pointed to our chest, yeah. And then we say, okay, now, point to you. And generally some confusion sets in. And usually they just point to the chest again. This is the most common thing. Yeah. And we have to say, no, no, no. You just told me it's your chest. It can't be you at the same time. So have another go. Point to you, yourself. And, you know, inevitably they end up getting a bit flustered. And then we point out these points. And then we congratulate them for being very cooperative and nice. And then they don't feel so bad for looking a little silly. But it's like that. It's really like that. There's this tendency to misidentify. And it operates on different levels. That I identify with my motor car. I've had personal experience. I've witnessed this. Two drivers, somehow their vehicles collide and they jump out, and inevitably at least one of them says, "You hit me, you hit me." But it's plainly obvious, even to any fool, that you and your car are definitely not one. It's just, you know, even a preschool child can understand that. But there's this tendency to identify, misidentify, identify and or misidentify. And it, with the body and then with one's possessions. Like we mentioned in relation to the car. But in relation to the country, that, even something like a football club, they get so worked up. In New Zealand, where I come from, they play soccer, but it's not such a big thing. But rugby, the All Blacks, wow. And when the All Blacks win, the whole country practically is in ecstasy. And when the All Blacks lose, the whole country goes into depression. Because directly or indirectly, there's at least a sense that they're an extension of me. And I've... quite some years ago, actually, I was on a flight from somewhere to somewhere, and the Springbok South African rugby team was on the plane. Yeah, and so I got on, and you have to show your passports. I was holding my New Zealand passport, and the Springboks had just, I think, defeated the All Blacks. And I'm holding my New Zealand passport as I'm walking through the Springboks. And they start making remarks. You know, we beat you. So I put it away and pulled out my South African passport. Yeah. And then it was, oh, okay. But they would consider it sort of like sporting schizophrenia. You know? You're supporting both sides. Little did they know that I couldn't have cared less. But these things are going on, and it's all this tendency to misidentify. To misidentify with one's gender. That we are the men, and therefore, you know, and you may be a kind of a stupid guy. And there may be many women who are more intelligent and capable. But still you may think, yes, I'm a man, or vice versa. So, yeah. And what to speak of, I'm a human, and the animals, etc., etc., are of no significance. And therefore we can abuse them. The animals, the plants, and just the ecology and whatnot. We can just abuse it because we are the humans and therefore we have the right. Don't ask me what the logic is behind the idea that we have the right, but they definitely feel that they have the right. So this is all due to the influence of the modes of material nature. But beyond that, being influenced or controlled or conditioned by the modes of material nature, it depends on one's fundamental, foundational identification. As soon as Prabhupada says, this false sense of proprietorship can be avoided simply by engaging oneself in devotional service under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his bona fide representative. That if we engage in devotional service consciously, particularly if we do it consciously, systematically, and in a progressive way, trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, then that will help us get free from this false sense of identity, proprietorship, identification, that these things are mine and therefore I have such and such rights. But first of all, you know, it depends what comes first, the understanding or the activity. You know, generally we would say, we distribute books so people get knowledge. And then when they get the knowledge, then they'll think, oh, yes, I must engage in devotional service. And then they do, at least some do, certainly. But in some cases, Agyata Sukriti, someone who doesn't know anything, even he may not even know that he's doing something which has a connection with Krishna, but that person gets engaged in some form of service to the Lord, even unknowingly. And because there's a connection with the Lord, just like fire, if you contact fire, even unknowingly, you'll get burnt. I mean, we've probably had that sort of experience sometime. A heater is on or something is hot and we don't know and we touch it and then, whoa, we realize. Yeah. So the influence can be there also when one is not conscious of what's the situation, that this is actually Krishna conscious. And if I have some connection with it, then I will be influenced by Krishna consciousness. They may not know, but it works. Krishna consciousness works, even if it's carried out unconsciously. Of course, it works even better if it's carried out consciously, no doubt at all. And it works even better if one is really has a mood of appreciation and gratitude towards the Lord and feels, yes, I want to serve because I must. How could I not do that? He deserves it. He's doing so much for me. Let me try to reciprocate. The Lord or the spiritual master, sometimes it's said like that. So the more conscious a person is, in a positive sense, about Krishna consciousness, when the person engages in Krishna conscious activity, the more effect will be there. But even if a person is just totally unaware that this is Krishna conscious activity, but still they do become engaged in it, there's still some effect. There's definitely some effect. Yes, so the modes of material nature are ruling this material world. People come into this lifetime on the basis of their activities, their desires, their consciousness from the previous lifetime, and they're born in this life in that context. That sort of family, that sort of body, that sort of place, that sort of state of mind, all these things are already fixed when one first enters this lifetime. Of course, the possibility exists of changing through Krishna consciousness. You know, if one has a very passionate nature, you know, very selfish and wanting personal enjoyment, if one contacts Krishna consciousness sufficiently, one can work to bring oneself more to the mode of goodness. But the basic fact is, one comes into this lifetime on the basis of the previous lifetime, and being influenced by certain specific modes in terms of the physical nature, psychological nature, the social environment, the family environment, the financial environment, all these things. Yes. And all these things are just saturated by the different modes. So here, Srila Prabhupada, of course, he talks about how Arjuna, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, didn't want to fight. What a famous subject matter. Yeah. He was feeling, I will be responsible for the deaths of my grandfather and teacher and many others. I'll be responsible. Therefore, I'll suffer reactions. Therefore, I don't want to do it. Therefore, I won't do it. This is his basic idea. But here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that if he didn't fight on that basis, that I don't want to be responsible for killing these people, then he would have become responsible for the sin of not doing his duty. And even, you could say, even beyond that, as a Kshatriya has a natural duty to defend the citizens from physical danger, but also from spiritual danger. That's why the Kshatriyas, they're generally twice initiated. They're like real practitioners of spiritual life, not to the same degree as the Brahmins, that definitely to a very, in a substantial way. So, Arjuna, Lord Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight so that Duryodhana and company, who were atheists and demons and would not have promoted Krishna consciousness in society at all, Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight with them so that he and his brothers would rule, and then they would see that everyone does follow Krishna consciousness. So if Arjuna had not fought, Duryodhana and company would have kept the kingdom, stopped people practicing Krishna consciousness, and it would have been very bad. So actually Arjuna had that responsibility to fight, to uphold and protect Dharma from people who were just not going to uphold Dharma and who wouldn't help the people with their execution of Dharma. So Arjuna would have been responsible in a big way for so many people. The whole of society would have gone down, and he would have had some responsibility in that because he didn't stand up and fight for Dharma, which is one of the natural duties of the Kshatriya. Yeah, so he thought, it's like that in material life. You think by doing something you're going to escape some unpleasant situation, but you just create another unpleasant situation. What on earth? It's, this is the material world. It's an extremely difficult place. So, but when Arjuna fought under the direction of Krishna, he, as Prabhupada says here, the devotee's actions may not appear to be of a very high quality to the common man, but the devotee has no responsibility. So people might think that Arjuna fighting, killing seniors, or that this is not good. This is very bad, he's going to get reactions. And if Arjuna had said, no, I will not fight, and he didn't fight, then those common people would have said, he's been good, he's a good man. But he would have had the reaction, and there would have been so many bad things. But in fighting, which to many people is not good, he would have been doing good. And he would have been freed from the reactions, serious reactions, which otherwise would have been there. Because the devotee acts completely under the direction of the Supreme Lord, or the Lord's bona fide representative, as Prabhupada says here, like this. In this way, one doesn't have to get the responsibility for whatever one's doing. What to speak of if somehow a devotee does something bad, the devotee will escape the reactions. But even if the devotee does something materially good, the devotee will escape the reactions. Yeah. So yes, it's a complex situation in the material world. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. But in effect, he says, but if one can understand them, then one will become liberated. Yes. So this is what is being discussed here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.